Romans, the 8th chapter, and want to share just three thoughts. Now, in a philosophy class, a young man was told that really all we are like wood chips out on the ocean, and that we're pretty much at the beck and call, whatever the ocean decides to do with us. If it washes us up on a shore, or if it carries us farther out into the ocean, but that we're pretty much helpless in our lives and in the control of our lives. And that's a fatalistic type of view, and it is one that is taught by many people, and perhaps even some good-meaning people, to try to ease perhaps any pain we might have in trying to work out things in our life. But that's really not what the Bible tells us. In fact, here in Romans 8th chapter, there are three certainties that I want us to look at that the apostle gives to us in just the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Three certainties. The first was in verse 1. Says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The first is that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is a certainty. You know, we used to be, and it's not so much anymore, but I still think there's still a lot of this perhaps goes in a different area. But it used to be that many people were motivated by guilt, that you could make them feel guilty and they would then participate in whatever it was you wanted to participate in. Guilt is not a primary motivational factor anymore as far as a group is concerned. However, I think many, many people have an unresolved guilt in their life. They feel guilty as a parent because they don't feel like they're parenting right. They feel guilty as a spouse because they're not sure that they're relating to their spouse correctly. They feel guilty because they're not getting everything accomplished in a week that they think they ought to get accomplished, or they haven't gotten in touch with somebody at some point. And there's a lot of guilt, and there's plenty of guilt to go around. And there is this area in our life that we need to feel guilty, and that is about our sin. We need to feel guilty about that, but if we are in Christ, we don't have to feel guilty about that. There is no condemnation for us. That is one of the certainties of Romans the 8th chapter, that there is now, not someday in the future, there is now, therefore now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And reading on here the next few verses, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. This sin and guilt you have been set free from. For what the law could not do, weak as it was to the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And so here's the different framework. Here's the different mindset that we see. That those who are not in Christ Jesus, those who do not fully understand that there is no longer any condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, are still walking around with a load of things that they feel they must accomplish and get done, and never ever able to satisfy those requirements. With those who are walking in the Spirit, those whose lives have been given over to Christ and accepted that offering that has been given on our behalf, there is no longer any condemnation, and we are working under the power of God's Spirit in our lives. Now, a second thing here, and that second certainty in this passage in Romans 8 is over in verse 28. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. The second thing, the second certainty that I think that is given to us here is that of no frustration. You say, well, now that can't be true. My life is frustrating. There are times and circumstances in my life that are just very frustrating. There are things that happen to me that you can't just tell me that I shouldn't have frustration. Well, first, I'm not telling you that. This scripture, I really think, indicates that to us, that there is no frustration. But the problem is that we become... we find that we have expectations that are unfulfilled, that we have hopes that are shattered, that our sea is not smooth, that our road is awful bumpy that we're on and uneven. But the difficulty is that we have a very short-sighted view of life, that we are unaware of the whole picture that is here. And God selects and weaves the pattern of our life Himself. And when we can see the whole picture, or if we could see the whole picture, if we could step back, we would see what it is that He is putting together. It's much like stepping up to a picture on a wall and focusing on something. And I did this the other day. I went up to the airport to pick up Mary, and their flight didn't come in. When they kept delaying and delaying and delaying, so they have an art exhibit up there. And I walked up to the pictures and I began looking at them. I had nothing else to do, so I looked at every one of them very closely. You know, the longer I looked at those pictures up closely, the less I was attracted to them. I could see the brush strokes. I could see the way they were put together. I wasn't that attracted to it. It's only when I stepped back and began to look at the thing as a whole that the picture itself became more presentable to me. I think that's what happens in our lives sometimes, and the frustration that comes in our life because we're focused on the momentary thing that really is only a part of a larger picture, and that we need to step back and look at that. And I think we've seen that. We've experienced that as a congregation in this last year, that particularly that we have seen things, seen momentarily as frustrations, as the time goes on, we see that there is a tremendous picture there for us. But God never contradicts the love that He has expressed for us at Calvary through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He'll never contradict that. He loves us. He loves us, and He wants the best for us. And God is going to give to us the best for us. We've got to believe that, because that's what He expressed through His Son on Calvary. He has the best for us, and we will get the best. Now, a third certainty is over in verses 38 and 39. Says, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." A third certainty that I see in this chapter is no separation. You know, in spite of hardships and opposition that come, that if we are Christ, we are God's eternal possession. There is no separation. Now, you need to keep in mind that the person who wrote this was the Apostle Paul. And listen to what the Apostle says about his own life in 2 Corinthians 11th chapter. He says, "Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so. In far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death, 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure upon me of concern for all the churches." And so when he says that there, none of these things can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, he is speaking from experience, an experience that none of us can match up to. And so when he can say this with such confidence, he says that is a promise to you also, that none of these things can separate you from the love that God has for you in his Son, Christ Jesus. And so as we come to this service this evening, these certainties that are mentioned here in chapter 8 of Romans are yours. And you should live like they are yours. And for those who have not made that commitment, it is something that you need well to consider, because these things cannot be yours outside of Christ. Yeah, they cannot be yours. You cannot have the experience and the joy of no condemnation. You cannot have the experience of no frustration. You cannot have the experience of no separation from God outside of Christ. But as we come to this service, let us rejoice that these things are available to us who are the called and the chosen.